Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Can you believe 2022? Does anybody else feel like you're not sure how last year went by so quick? Does anybody feel like that? I'm looking, like every year I kind of get excited about the new year, but I'm literally trying to get ready and going, where did last year even go? Because it felt like it was about 4 months long, and yet I have all these memories. We started to talk about all the things that happened and we did and trips, and we had a chance to sneak away to a couple places in southern Ontario. I thought, I know I have all these memories, but it feels like it was so quick. But God's doing a good thing because he's been speaking, and I'm going to read a prophetic word from Dorman, who sent it to me. He said last night, oh, I got a word, I'm going to send it right away, and then he fell asleep. So I was left wondering, and I thought, I woke up today, and I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to pursue him. If this is a word that needs to be released, you're going to have to bring it. I really felt, I just wanted to keep, God, I was going to text him, what's the word? And he finally, like literally, while you were speaking, he sent it to me at 10:45. So we're 4 minutes after this word. And you just ended with miracles. He said, I hear God saying, Antioch, I have placed you at the gate of Canada, which is a place of authority. For the last 3 decades, I've been building something in this ministry that was put in Pastor Gary's heart over 30 years ago. There has been a shifting over the last 2 years, but 2022 will be a year of prophetic words that have been released over you to start to come to fruition. Get ready for Holy Spirit to start moving in your midst like never before. Don't expect it to be like before. I am doing a new thing. The past was a foundation for what is going to happen this year. Get ready for miracles, signs, and wonders. 2022 will be a year people will say, truly, God is good. God is a good, good Father. Amen? That's a good word. Probably deserved a little more yes in that word. So that's a good word. So we receive that word. It's interesting, all this, because last week I didn't get to go there. It just wasn't, you know, we did it with each of us sharing, but I spent some time in Judges and just looking at Gideon. This is where I'm not going here today, but I'm reminded when the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon, Gideon starts basically saying, Lord, where are you? Where are your miracles? What's going on? And then the angel says, oh, you mighty man of valor, go in this great, basically, faith of yours. And it seems awkward because he's just complaining about God. I don't believe or I don't see you do anything. But I actually think that in that is the faith because he's still waiting for God to do something. Right. He's still talking about God. We know. We've heard the stories. We want to see you move. And I'm just carrying this burden. And so angel of the Lord's like, that's faith. That's the mighty one inside of you. And so I feel like for us this year, if that's where you're at, like you're wondering where God's at, just say like, that's the faith that God's looking for. If you're still wondering, that's good. Because you still expect it to happen. Yes. Following me? Yep. All right. So one quick announcement that's a testimony. We have a marriage in our midst. We have lots of people that are married, but Vlad and Emily got married on December 18th. They were in Michigan. And of course, yeah, let's give a big shout out to them. So congratulations, guys. Of course, with COVID and all that, they have, you know, small weddings and all that. So it kind of took place nonchalantly, and but we celebrate you guys and the future that you have together and the wonderful gift that you are to each other. And Vlad, we're excited to get to know you more over the days. And I know you want to come up here and share all the time, but I say that because when I ask, I'm like, "Do you guys want to come up?" He's like, "Up to the front." Okay, I see where you're at. Okay, so I had an interesting experience. We're gonna share. I don't know how many got the newsletter, and Claude, thank you for just reaching out to me yesterday. Because it's funny, you may not have ever had one of these moments, but sometimes I feel like Rod. I'm sure you've had it as a prophet, where you get picked up, you write something, you forget about it, or you prophesy something and forget about it, and you find out later. And I had written this a few days ago, sometime last week, and you had just wrote and said, you know, it was a good letter. So I thought I should go back and read it. And it was like reading it for the first time, which was really interesting. So I'm going to read it to you, but I want to pull out some words, an interesting experience I had last night. But I wrote this in the newsletter. How many get the newsletter? If you don't get the newsletter, you are welcome to to call in or to text Karen any way you want to get a hold of her, let her know. I don't believe we have a direct sign up, do we? No, okay. I wrote this in the January newsletter. It's always hard to figure out what's coming in a season that we're in, to figure out what to write about the next month, because you don't know, right? I wrote this. I said, I find dates and times fascinating. As the hand of a clock moves by 1 second, we find ourselves 1 year older or entering a new year or decade. As you read this, we will have moved from 2021 to 2022 with the tick of a clock and the drop of a ball. And with the new year comes new opportunities. We don't know and can't determine what 2022 will bring, but we can decide how we will face each situation. We can decide whether we will walk isolated or in community, full of faith or fear, or set on kingdom work or caught up in noise and distractions. I believe 2022 will be a powerful and fruitful year, not because we are simply waiting for God to move, but because God is moving in and through us. God spoke many years ago to us as a body and said, "Occupy until I come." The word occupy means to carry on business and to keep being productive. I'm ready to see the broken and hurting come to the Lord. I'm ready to see more people baptized and discipled in 2022 than in any other previous year. Amen. You guys with me on that? When I was reading it over, the words that jumped out, I wrote the noise and distraction. And as I was preparing, I felt like the Lord wanted me to look up. I'm a word guy. I don't always know the full meaning of words, so I like to look them up. And so I want to read you the definitions of distraction and noise. To distract means to draw away or divert as the mind or attention. To draw away or divert as the mind or attention. The word divert actually means to turn aside from a path or course. It literally means you're on a path and you get, through a distraction, diverted onto another path, another course. I think we all can say that March of 2020, there was a diversion, right? It was like nobody put that in their goals for 2020, that we would have a pandemic. Nobody, I don't know of anybody, people afterwards looked at their prophetic words and tried to make it, you know, fit the pandemic. But I don't know anybody that said, hey, there's a pandemic coming. But it definitely did some shifting. And I can even see that in Dorman's word alluding to the last 2 years. There's been kind of a sorting. But I think it's interesting to draw away or divert. It means to disturb or trouble greatly in the mind. How many could say that the last two and a half years, there's been a troubling in the mind? There's been distractions in the mind. There has been all these things. It also means to provide a pleasant diversion to amuse or entertain. I think that's interesting too, because in the pandemic, a lot of people have admitted to, like, the addiction level is increasing like never before, because people are in such turmoil, they're trying to find something to distract them from that turmoil. Therefore, they amuse themselves and entertain themselves to death, literally. It also means to separate or divide by dissension or strife. Can you see in one word? I looked at that and I'm like, this is what the enemy's been doing for 2 years. To separate or divide by dissension or strife. I go on little rabbit trails. I'm like, what does that word mean? Dissension, strong disagreement, a contention of quarrel, a discord, a difference in sentiment or opinion, disagreement. Use the word tumult. Violently and noisy commotion or disturbance of a crowd or mob, a general outbreak, a riot, an uprising, highly distressing agitation of mind. It's funny how many of these go back to the mind. And then the last word, it's funny that dissension's in there and tumult actually talks about noise. And noise says extraneous, irrelevant, or meaningless facts. Did you hear that?
Say that again.
This is noise. Extraneous, irrelevant, or meaningless facts. That's noise. When you have something in the background that's distracting you, it's irrelevant. It's not important information that's distracting you from the important. as I was getting ready for this, I felt like the Lord said, go back and see what you preached in January 3rd. Do you remember that movie Groundhog Day? When I listened to my sermon from January 3rd, I was actually tempted to wear the same shirt. I thought, why not? But I didn't. As I listened, I thought, this could be the same time exactly. Like I feel like in many ways we're in the same place. Now, as I thought about that, I thought, no, a lot of amazing things have happened over the year. And I'm thankful for that. But in some ways, we are still in the same distraction. We had that wind. I don't know when that was, before our big get-together festival that we had to shoot. Like, everything was blowing down. It was crazy. And I remember driving that day to go pick up my daughter at McDonald's, and I had never seen the planes. They were coming in from a total different direction because of that wind. I'd never seen it before, and they were stacked on top of each other in the air. Did anybody see that the one day? The wind was so strong, I don't know if they ever landed, but they were in what's called what? A holding pattern. They just kept flying around. I literally think planes just kept adding to it. I had never seen that many planes over Essex County. And as I was doing this sermon, I thought, man, that's what it kind of feels like. I feel like I'm looking down at the runway going, we're supposed to be down there, but we're still circling. You know, and sometimes there's a need for that. I feel like it's this weird combination that we need to acknowledge that we've been in a holding pattern, but it's also time to go, you know what, let's land the plane. Yeah. 2022 is the time to land the plane. I also imagine it like this. This is another, you know, I've never had this happen, but you see in these movies where people are lost and they travel around in the forest and, you know, they think they're getting somewhere and they come upon a clearing and it looks really familiar. And then they look down if it's like a wintertime thing and they notice that there's tracks and they come to that realization that they just went around in a complete circle and they're right back where they started. And if you're lost and you're desperate, that, oh. So I had some of those moments last night of going, are you serious? Like, I could read you my notes of what I prepared and then read you the notes from last year. And I thought, how are we preaching the same thing? And again, I felt like the Lord said, it's okay. It's okay. But let's get ready to land the plane. So I want to talk to you a little bit. If you want to turn to Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah 60. You know, if I didn't really think about titling this message, but we really could title it, Let's Land This Plane. But I guess the question is, how do you land the plane? What I said last year is that we're waiting. We have to stop waiting for something to be done in order for us to be joyful and hopeful. And I fell through distraction. I feel like I fell right back in. Maybe not all the time, but at times I found myself being distracted back into thinking that I'll be happy when this is over, right? How many of us felt like coming into Christmas going, are we really back here again? Like, didn't you feel like we were kind of looking at our own footprints going, really, again, 2022, 2021, 2020, like, really? And I feel like the body of Christ, we are being given this beautiful opportunity to go, what will you do with this situation? There are contrary winds. I talked about that last year. Contrary winds, but we can still land this plane. I just got two I'll speak to you. Anybody else want to land the plane? And what does it mean to land the plane? Where's the runway? What are we landing into? These are all great questions. Thank you for asking. Distraction. It simply means that we have gotten our eyes, you said it today, turning our eyes, we've gotten our eyes off. I look at the last 2 years and the tumult, the dissension, the distraction, the noise, all these things have kept our eyes from being able to focus on what Jesus came to do. And in 2022, I want to let you know that we're putting our focus. We've already started it. We want to raise mighty ones who walk in the way of Jesus. I'm going to take every effort to get us to constantly go back to, how is Jesus walking? How did he walk? How is he walking? What does it look like? And how do we do it in a day and age like we live today? That's what I want to focus on. Because there are hurting and broken people. There are people that have marriages falling apart, that are just, we live in a broken world, don't we? Some of us are even broken. We are all broken at times, although my shirt I think says unbroken, so we'll go with that. But the reality is at moments we have brokenness, and Jesus wants to create places and people that will allow people to get healed. You guys following me? What I've dreamed of, what we've dreamed of, like I have never dreamed of, I told Chris the other day, I did not sign up to become a really good public speaker. Where at the end of a service, I would go, man, I felt like I delivered that message really well. Now I can feel like I have a good week. Pastor Rod went into ministry. Pastor Gary went into ministry. Pastor Claude kind of went into ministry, fought it all the way along, just joking. But he was a dentist, you know. But we went into it to go, we want to see people's lives transformed. We want to see regions transformed. Like we want to have a church where people are equipped to transform families and relationships. I don't think any of that has changed. I wrote in the letter, occupy until I come. That was, Pastor Gary, did you get that many years ago? Was that through
Wade Taylor?
And I looked up that scripture, and it talks about literally Jesus going. It's in Luke 19, verse 13. Jesus goes, he's talking about, it's a parable, but he's saying, listen, I'm leaving you with talents, or, you know, it's often talents that they refer to. I'm leaving you with this talent, this money. I want you to occupy until I come back. Some translations will say, put it into business, do something with it. And literally, he's saying, listen, I'm going, here's the kingdom, or I'm going to come bring back the kingdom in fuller form, but do something with what you have until I get back. And that's where they get the word occupy until I come. We've come to believe, you know, we've had occupations. We've had different things. We've Wall Street or different things that people have camped out and just slept and been there. And that was not what Jesus intended. He was like, get to work until I return. That's why in the parable, when he comes back, they're like, hey, I took the 10 and I invested it and I got another 10 for you. And Jesus is like, that's awesome. Somebody else like, I had 5, I invested it, I got another 5. Awesome. And the other one said, I feared you, I didn't know what you would do, so I buried it so I could at least give it back. And he's like, what did you do? You did nothing with what I gave you. And he actually gives it to the other two that spent well or invested well. So you need to understand that word occupy. We are in that moment right now, that season. We are circling, and he wants to land the plane, and he wants us in 2022. He wants to see people get saved and set free and healed. If I'm going to ask for miracles, that's one of the things. I said, Lord, I want to see people get saved. I want to see people get set free in 2022. I said that in 2021. And I'm going to keep saying it, but it's like, Lord, I don't want to go another year in 2023, be talking about seeing people come in, because we're still talking about things that we don't need to talk about anymore. Noise, distraction. And I know there's a lot of complication around it, but when it comes to the kingdom, look through how Jesus walked, and you will not find him talking about anything to do really with overthrowing. He wanted to see people get saved and healed and set free. How do I know? Isaiah 61 says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. You know, vengeance, Jesus did that on the cross and took the vengeance, took the penalty so we can bring the freedom. I think this is a good word. I'll just encourage myself. I'm excited for it. You can if you want to as well. Thank you. It's great. I don't know if you recently heard. I'm going to grab a drink. The missionaries that were in Haiti, did you guys hear that they are free? So amazing. There was, 17 of them originally? 5 of them were released. And I thought originally when I read the story that the other ones were released, only to find out that they fled, they escaped. And the Canadian, there was one Canadian missionary that was with him. I think he's 23 years old. And I was reading his story. It's pretty fascinating. But he said this. I thought, this is so now, so, you know, wise what he said. He said when they were captive, you know, they went through some very horrific things and they would often pray, they would worship. He said that was their lifeline, but he said one thing divided us constantly. It's what do we do? Do we stay or do we try to escape? And they were divided. And he says, but one night, I can't remember what the reason was, but he said, one night a miracle happened. So you kind of like, what happened? Did the doors fly open? Like, what happened? He says, a miracle happened. We all came to an agreement. I thought that's very sad, but kind of true. He says, this was the miracle that we actually all came to an agreement to escape. And they escaped. All the 12 that were left got out and they're all safe and sound. I thought in a church where we love each other, where we're listening to the voice of God, it's interesting that we call coming into agreement and unity a miracle. And yet I think sometimes it is a miracle. And I just wonder, though, if we sometimes get off course and we get divided. It'd be like this, you know, churches have split over the color of carpet. I kid you not. What is that? Noise. That's simply noise. Because when the target is to see people get saved, set free, and healed, and you worry about the carpet, that's noise. When you worry about the color of chairs, it's noise. Now, there are things, obviously, we need to look at. There are real things. But sometimes the things that churches split over, it's noise. It's dissension. It's distraction. And I think the enemy has a riot when he can take little things. I want to read that again. Like, look at all the things to draw away or divert. As I look at things, I feel like we've been diverted and we're not even focusing. To disturb or trouble greatly in the mind. I've been there in 2021 and 22. To provide a pleasant diversion. I'll be honest, I've amused myself with Netflix for several hours, over several days, maybe months. I'm just trying to get a laugh, but the reality is we will all do things to try to distract from what God's really calling us to do. And then it says to separate or divide by dissension or strife. And he has been doing that. I want to let you know, we're going to focus in 2022 and beyond. And I want to invite you to focus with us. I went back to, we never wanted to just do church and do speaking. We wanted each of you to be equipped to do the work of the kingdom. That's actually what it says in Ephesians. Our job is, we are to be equipped, or we are to help you be equipped. We are to equip you to the work of the ministry. See, when you take that into account, coming to church has a total different meaning. That's why when Pastor Rod, I'm so glad you did it, because I was already thinking of something. When you get activated, you're being equipped. And you may say, man, it is awkward and uncomfortable. I know it is, but you're being equipped. And every time you're asked to step out, and we always try to do it in such a way that it's not overbearing or, you know, too crazy. We want you to know, like, we don't want you to come sit, listen to us, feel like you got a good sermon and go home. We want you to be equipped and trained and ready. And at the end of 2021, when I listened to that sermon, I thought, I preached it last year, but did we grab it? Did I grab it? Did I listen to my very own words? I'd have to admit I didn't. I got caught up in little paths, little side eddies, little things. Last year, I talked on this day about riptides. Remember that? How many remember I talked about riptides? That you can get caught up in a riptide that pulls you out. And I'm like, Lord, we're still getting caught up in these riptides. We're still worried about things that we don't need to worry about. We need to worry about getting people saved. Amen? Isaiah 60, that's where I wanted to go. If you're there, say I'm there. Isaiah 60, rise and shine. If we could just stop there, that would be really good, wouldn't it? Two words, arise, shine. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For your light has come. He's come in the name of Jesus. Keep there, go to John 1. Don't lose your spot. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not or cannot comprehend it. Who lives inside of you? Jesus. Who is Jesus? The light. Rise and shine, for your light has come. I'm so thankful it doesn't say, arise and wait, for your light is coming. It doesn't say, arise. You know, I wrote that, you know, we talk a lot about revival, but I want to let you know, I'm not waiting because I feel like we have a portion already, regardless of what we see. I have to sometimes remind myself of that and go, don't look with your natural eyes, look with your spiritual eyes. We have a portion of revival, and God's like, what are you going to do with the portion that I've given you? Well, it would be terrible if we said, well, I only got five, so I'm going to wait until I get another five because I look at the church that's got 10. And I want to be the church that has 10. And he's like, but I've given you five. What are you going to do with the five? And I feel like that's that holding pattern. What are you going to do with the portion that I've given you? I don't want him to come back and go, well, I didn't do anything with it because I really wanted to be the church of 10. So I waited until I could find another five. He's like, no, you got five. Giving you five, what are you going to do with the five? Well, I'm telling you, I've got you guys, and we've got Jesus, and he's the light of the world, and he says clearly, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It doesn't say might rise upon you. It doesn't say could rise upon you. It says it has risen upon you. Now, what I feel like the enemy has done over the last 2 years through social media and news reports and all that and controversy, it's not about taking sides or anything, but this is what he's done. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. We're going to read 10 verses that talk about how good things are going to be, but what the enemy loves to do is draw attention to that one verse that simply signifies where we're at. Hey, there's darkness, there's confusion, but we just read that the darkness cannot comprehend the light. But yet we get focused on, behold, darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But he's like, no, for your light has come. Verse 3, the Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising, but there's darkness. And he's like, no, for Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. I love that. The brightness of your rising. As the sun comes up, if you arise like the dawn, if you arise and the sun comes up, they will come to your arising. They're looking for people that are not running around going, oh my gosh, another fifth wave. Oh my gosh, we got to take care of this. No, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. Hey, do you know Jesus? Do you know the Son of God that actually came to bring you peace in this storm? Like, we got to get back to that target. I have got to get back to that target. Anybody with me? The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Kings. That means like officials. People that have way higher positions than you and I will notice the sun arising on you if you take a different stance. If I take a different stance, lift up your eyes all around and see. Let me give you an example of that. Lift up your eyes all around and see. Somebody said today, you know, looking at what God is doing. Over the last 2 months, I've had two interesting scenarios. The first one, I was driving back from Toronto late at night, and I was not driving. I was a passenger, and in the middle of our drive at about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, something flies off a truck in front of us, and it hits the windshield. And it was a piece of metal we found out later because it scratched all the side, did a lot of damage to the vehicle. And I was sitting in that passenger seat, you know, and it's easy for me to begin to look at the negative and all that. But after a few days, I realized if that thing would have hit not like this, but it would have hit like this, I'd be dead. not a doubt in my mind where it hit and how it hit, I would be dead or at least severely injured. Had a car accident just before Christmas, and my little teeny Sonic, you know, went up against a Jeep Grand Cherokee. Actually, the Jeep Grand Cherokee lost. The Angels won. I kid you not, because my wife went to pick up stuff from the car, and the guy that was there was the tow truck driver that picked it up, and he said, I don't know, man. It was crazy. When we got there, the other Jeep, his front end was obliterated. And my front end has damage, but nothing compared to his. So you get caught up, right? My eyes were looking at all the negative. Oh my gosh, I gotta go buy another vehicle. Didn't expect to do this. And my arm's been sore. I can't fully grip yet. And he's like, yeah, but you walked away. Did you see? You probably didn't see the angels that were there. They're a little messed up right now. You got some bumps and bruises on them too. I'm like, yeah, I didn't really look at that, did I? It's so easy to see the negative. And the Lord's like, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and all around and see, they all gather together and they come to you. To me, that is telling me right now that I believe there are people that are waiting for the church to awaken in the proper way. It's a word right now. I'm like, how do we even use the word awaken anymore? It's been hijacked. You're either woke or you're awakening. And it's like you're awakening to the truth of this or that. I wanted to awaken to the truth of Jesus Christ and how much good and change he can do in people's lives. And that's what people are waiting to see the real deal. I'm going to try that again. People are waiting to see the real deal. Not people that talk the religious talk. Oh, praise the Lord. Ha, bless you. We got to get rid of all that religion and just be real normal people that are in love with Jesus that show how good he is. That's who we got to be. They shall all gather together. They shall come to you. Your sons shall gather from afar and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. They shall see and become radiant and your heart shall swell with joy. That was brought up. I think Pastor Gary said it today. Joy. I am determined over the next few months, we're going to find really joyful songs. We're going to make this place so joyful when people come in, they're going to think that they've entered some party. And the party's going to be Jesus and what he has done in your life. Every one of you have a story that you can sit down and share with someone of what Jesus has done. Every one of you have that story. It's different. Your story is going to minister to somebody where my story can't. That's why our stories are so important. And when we come together, you know, to be honest with you, I don't want worship to be like, oh, we're just here to worship. I'm like, let's worship. I know it sucks with a mask. I get that. So here's what I want to leave you guys with. I don't want to look at verse 2 as a church anymore. We already know that the world has got some darkness in it. I want to look at verse 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, and on. About how the Lord is arising. How he is doing great things in the midst of sometimes challenging times. You know, my kids are really happy. They're happy that I'm alive and walking, but they're happy the Sonic is gone. See, they could easily be saying, look up, lift up your eyes, Dad, and look, the Sonic is gone. Why do I say that? It was Stick, and they did not want to learn Stick, and they were struggling horribly. So they, when they found out it was a write-off, they're like, yes, because now they're going to have heated seats, and it's not going to be manual. It's going to be automatic. So when they get in and they push that heat the seat button, they're like, this is the best thing ever. Lift up your eyes, Dad, and see. Yes, look at my bank account. But see, we all have different perspectives. So I want to go back to and finish with this. What do I see over the next few years? I believe that God has given this to us, this building, this place, and each of us. I want you to understand, when I say building, I try to understand I'm referring to you as well. you as a building, you as a person, but he has called us to be houses, a house of hope, houses of hope. With all my heart, I sat down yesterday. I thought, Lord, what do I desire to see our church come into? I desire to see our church come into and increasing in this place being a house of hope. But the only way that'll happen, you have to understand, is you play a part in that. Every one of us play a part in making this into a house of hope. So what does that look like for a house of hope? How many would think it would be absolutely incredible if people that were broken walked in here and got saved, set free, healed over time, and became forged into mighty ones? How many love hearing stories where people have gotten radically changed? Don't we all love that? Well, in order for this to happen, I think we've walked through eras where we put that on the church leadership to make happen. And I want to let you know, that's not how we think of it here. Each one of you will play a role in seeing this happen. What it looks like to me is that they walk in. So let me paint the picture. They walk in through the doors, and we've already got a lot of this, which is awesome. And they see vibrant, radiant people that are just thankful that they've just walked through the doors. Not overbearing, because that could be too much. But just like, oh my gosh, you're new here. We're so thankful that you came. But as soon as they walk through the door, the spiritual atmosphere is different and they begin to feel different. How does that happen? It happens through a group of people that have a higher belief system. They are seeing the rising of the sun and not the darkness. They're coming out of the night season. They're like, no, but the sun is shining. I'm telling you, that changes people when they walk through the door and they're like, whoa, what is this thing called hope? We may never have to say it. We went to Bethel the first time. I looked at my mom. I said, I don't know what this is, but I want it for Antioch. I walked in. I was so discouraged when I walked into Bethel. I was downcast. It had been a rough season. And I remember walking out going, let's do this. You know, you got the guns out. Let's do it. But the funny thing is, nobody ever went and told me how to do it. It's just like this atmosphere. So they walk in and they come in, and here's what I really want you to get. This is one of the simplest parts. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is so simple. Do it this way. Say, dude, let's be young now. Dude, this is so simple. How many have ever been excited to go to a show that you thought was going to be amazing, and you walked into the theater and no one was there? Raise your hand if that's ever happened. And you start to question, maybe this isn't the best show in the world. Nobody's here. Or maybe I have the wrong time. Maybe I've shown up early. Maybe I've shown up late. Maybe I've shown up on the wrong day. It's a weird thing when you arrive somewhere. It's like arriving to a party that everybody's raved about, and there's four people at the party. And everybody talked about how good this party was going to be. And there's four people. I think you know where I'm going with this. We've gone into a bad habit again, church, where people kind of walk in at about quarter after. Now, if we all say we're on target, we want to see this be a house of hope. We want to see people come in and get excited and healed and set free. And they walk into a building that we've actually invited them to come to, a service, and they walk in and there's no one here. You want to talk about awkward? Ask Rod and I. We've watched it happen over and over again. Because people that are coming as guests don't arrive late. They arrive early because that's what we normally do. And they're sitting in these seats looking around going, do we have the wrong day, the wrong time, the wrong church? Simple thing that we can do in 2022 is arrive 10 minutes early and create an atmosphere. I think we have, in my opinion, we continually try to find these little secrets that would maybe revolutionize things. I laugh at things sometimes. I'm like, man, you are pulling this most obscure thing out of that scripture. I'm having a hard time finding it because we want this secret thing. And sometimes I'm like, let's just go with what we know works. excited people that love Jesus, that want to worship, that are here on time, that create an atmosphere of praise, because we know Jesus comes with our praise, and when he comes, everything changes. That's a simple formula. Come on, speak to me. So if we're like, man, we want to do this, but we're not going to arrive on time, but that's really hard. I don't know many people that arrive to the theater late. You ever notice that? I know I'm stepping on toes a little bit. That's okay. I don't know many people that when they want to see a show, they arrive late. Most people usually arrive early. It's very different nowadays, too. You got to assign seats. Anyway, that's irrelevant. It's noise. But what I'm saying is, what if in 2022 we all arrived 10 minutes early and started to greet each other, celebrate each other, give prophetic words to each other, get excited for the service, so from the first strum, this place erupts in the true praise that we carry in our hearts. Because I know we do. I know we carry this praise. It's like, let's just arise and shine. That's one thing that we can do that I guarantee will change when people walk through the door. We can't keep circling, hoping. Like, there are steps to take for a plane to land. And one of the steps to take is, if we really want to see us come into what God's called us to, we got to take simple steps. Arriving on time or even earlier is a simple step that will change things. Because when we invite somebody to walk through the door, you would never want your guest that you've invited to walk into an empty house that you've just told them how, like, this place erupts with praise. This place is excited for Jesus. You wouldn't believe how many people love Jesus here, and they get here and there's crickets. It's an odd thing. Second thing, I'm not going to get into this today, but it's funny. I've been telling you about this book. I've just been reading a little bits here and there. It's called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. It's funny because when you look at that, it's like, that's cool, a house key. Until you realize, oh, it's your house key that it comes with. It sounds really, do I get a house out of this? No, you get to give your house. Because one of the things that I want to see in 2022 is that each of us open our doors to people that walk through these doors. For far too long, we've come in here and we've celebrated and then we've scattered and leaving people that are here that are new lost. And my dream for 2022 for all of us is that we would begin to embrace those that walk through the door and the ones that are already here to go, let's get together and share our stories. I'm gonna have you for coffee and I'm gonna share my story with you without judgment, without criticism. I'm just gonna let you know what God's done in my life. I'm not gonna tell you all the things that are wrong because that's what they're gonna expect, right? You're gonna tell me all the things that I'm doing wrong. That's why you want me over. No, I just wanna tell you what God's done in my life and all the things that you're doing right. I wanna bless you and honor you and encourage you. Wouldn't that be amazing? Rise and shine, for your light has come. Amen. I really believe God's going to do something if we land the plane. I really do believe it comes down to, for all of us, we each have prophetic words that are not always guaranteed, but are provisional on our response. Do you know that? They're provisional on our response. Do we receive them? Do we embrace them? Do we pursue them? So I'm your pilot. I'd like to land the plane. I'd like to, in 2023, not be talking about the noise, even if the noise is still happening. Because if we're waiting for the noise and the distractions to stop, we will be here, possibly in 2023, talking about how we need to get away from the noise and distractions. I want the path to be as clear as possible. We want to forge mighty ones to walk in the way of Jesus. We want to take all our effort and disciple and find out, you know, how do we get more in line with walking like Jesus? Where have we gone astray when it comes to walking like Jesus? And let's get back to it. Amen? If you have not picked up a cleanse, I really want to encourage you to pick up a cleanse. I don't know actually if they can even pick up cleanses anymore, mind you. If you want to get a part of this, to be a part of it, You can download it online on our website. I want to close with this because this is a great way for all of us to get on the same page and to take some time and to check our hearts. I've read this probably 3 or 4 times now through just looking at it. And every time I read it, I realize that there are things in my heart that I got to get right. I shared this last week. Nobody would take their car in for a 10-point checkup and watch the mechanic just kind of do a quick look over and go, it's fine. No, if they're going to do a 10-point check, I want them taking off my tires. I want them looking at my brakes. I want them going over my vehicle. And I feel like for the next 10 days, God's given us a window to go, you know, as a congregation, let's do a 10-point heart check. Let's take some time and look at how are we doing with rest. These are the titles. I'll go through them real quick. We're looking at rest, identity, forgiveness, humility, honor, love, compassion, generosity, gratefulness, and celebration. Every day you can take some time and you can go, I'm just going to take some time and check. I'm going to read the devotional. There's a few questions to answer, and I'm going to check my heart in this area. How am I doing? And when we get to Wednesday, we're going to be looking at forgiveness. And so we're going to encourage you. We are going to have a kind of a service of some sorts here, but we're going to come together because we're going to do it individually at home, but we're going to come together Wednesday night and do it corporately as a church. I'm really interested to see how the Lord will lead us to do this corporately, to go, where do we even need to forgive each other? Whatever God shows us. And then we have the rest of the week. And then the final Wednesday that we end, it ends 10 days later on another Wednesday. It's actually celebration. So we're going to come and celebrate. We're going to come and celebrate. I think one of the other desires I have is a really loud church. You know, hankies that are shaking and you stand up, everyone. Just point to me. Children can come too. What could this look like? We could either be talking about circling next year or talking about the goodness of God next year. Thank you. I'm just wondering. Yep, filing cabinets, calls coming in of miracles happening all over the place. Yeah. What I love about that is it's not just us. That's like miracles happening all over the place because you're coming back with the stories. And Lord, for all of us, we ask that you would stretch us. Lord, we ask that we would begin to go, you know what? I'm going to arise and shine. The plane's going to land. Lord, that we would begin to focus from here on in to see more and more people come into your kingdom than ever before. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.